water has been a source of tension in the Middle East for a long time now, and now a prolonged drought and even the threat of less rain in years to come are raising fears of worse times ahead. In fact, there's a concern that a shortage of water could lead to a violent conflict in the region. Linda Gradstein reports from Israel and the West Bank on the growing impact of the region's water crisis.
Khaled Rahaila, a 43-year-old farmer, lives in a corrugated tin shack in the Jordan Valley, a fertile agricultural area where he grows vegetables like green peppers, tomatoes, and zucchini on rented land. In a good year, he could make a profit of a few thousand dollars. But lately, there hasn't been a good year.
There's scarcity of water. There was not enough rain this year. And our crops were destroyed.
Rahaila says he tries to collect rainwater in the winter in shallow pools. In the summer, he goes to work in a nearby Jewish settlement to help make ends meet. He has to buy drinking water from tanker trucks. It's a similar tale of scarcity about 100 miles away at the Sapir pumping station on the Sea of Galilee. Huge peach-colored pumps draw water from the sea, where it is then distributed throughout the country.
And here we stand near the boat's port, which is dry now. It's totally dry because water level is about 4 meters below what it used to be a few years ago.
Daron Markel of the Israeli Water Authority says the Sea of Galilee, which is Israel's largest freshwater lake and the source of more than a third of its drinking water, is fast approaching what is called the Black Line. Once that happens, all pumping will have to stop, or the sea itself could be damaged. The Middle East has had several years of drought. Last year was the driest in Israel in 70 years. This year was a little better, with most areas getting about 80% of the average rainfall. Scientists here say rain patterns are also changing. It's raining less often, but more heavily. That means less water is absorbed into the ground, and that instead the intense rains can cause floods. According to Israel's Meteorological Service, average temperatures in the Middle East have also risen significantly in recent years, which means more evaporation. Daniel Pedersen, a lecturer in environmental studies at Hadassah College in Jerusalem, says water stress is growing throughout the region.
We're now in the third or fourth year of lower than average rain, a drought year. And across the region, in Lebanon, in Israel, in the Palestinian Authority, in Jordan, in Iraq, there is more use of water and less water available. So there's a crisis of water across the region.
If the pattern sounds familiar, Pedersen lays much of the blame for the problems in a familiar place as well, climate change. And the heightened water stress is exacerbating long-time problems and tensions. Dr. Shaddad Al-Attili, the head of the Palestinian Water Authority, says that like everything else here, water is political. Since Israel occupied the West Bank in 1967, it has taken control of all of the territory's water. Palestinians are not allowed to tap the aquifer that runs under the West Bank without Israeli permission.
I have water underneath our feet here, but we were not allowed to drill a well. Because Israel, they took the water. They don't have the right policy. We're living the consequences of Israel policy.
In 1995, as part of the Oslo Accords, Israel and the Palestinian Authority signed a deal on water sharing. Since then, the Palestinian population has grown by tens of thousands. And the freeze in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations means the water agreement has not been updated. Attili says the problem is growing more acute.
The problem is not only here in the West Bank, it's also in the Gaza Strip. The water available to them is not enough, and the quality of that water is not acceptable for human drinking.
A recent report by the World Bank sharply criticized Israel, saying Israelis use four times as much water per capita as the Palestinians. The report also criticizes the Palestinian Authority for mismanagement and says Palestinian pollution threatens local water supplies. Both sides take issue with parts of the World Bank report, and they disagree on some of the causes of the crisis. But Israelis and Palestinians do agree that it must be addressed. For its part, Israel recently cut water quotas to farmers by almost a quarter. There's also a new ban on watering private lawns. and consumers who use more water than the average will be charged a hefty premium. But Israel's further options are somewhat limited, in part because the country already uses water very efficiently. The country pioneered water-saving drip irrigation. And Doron Markel of the Israel Water Authority says they're already reusing most of their wastewater for agriculture.
Israel is the most efficient country in the world regarding to water system. And the most efficient part is the use of sewage, of retreated sewage. We use more than 70% of the sewage.
Palestinians do not have this option, partly because they don't have the resources. Clive Lipchin is director of research at the Arava Institute, which encourages Israeli, Palestinian, and Jordanian environmental cooperation.
Currently, there's not one wastewater treatment facility in the West Bank that is running as it should. And there's no wastewater treatment facilities in Gaza at all that are running. And again, you know, it's not just the Palestinians' problems. If we're not treating sewage in the territories, it's polluting the aquifer that we're using.
Given the dearth of other options, Israel is turning to desalination. Two desalination plants already produce about 5% of the country's needs, and officials hope to boost that to more than 20% by the end of next year. There's even an ambitious idea called the Red Dead Canal, which would move water from the Red Sea to the shrinking Dead Sea and then desalinate some of that. But not everyone thinks desalination is the way to go. Environmentalists protest that desalination burns dirty fossil fuels. It's also relatively expensive. So some say one of the only options left is agriculture, which, despite all of its efficiencies, still uses about half of Israel's water. Environmental scientist Daniel Pedersen says that has to change.
Why should we take our precious natural resource so people can grow flowers and ship them to Europe, or grow oranges, or grow cotton? And these are all water-intensive crops, and we are not a water-rich country. We can grow our own food, but there's no real reason why we can't rethink this division of our resources.
Back in the Jordan Valley, farmer Khaled Rahaila doesn't know anything about desalination or a new canal. All he can do is hope that somehow he and his family get more water. Every day, his wife Taisira bakes 20 round loaves of pita bread. That, along with olive oil and vegetables, is what they and their young children eat. They can't afford meat or dairy products since they have little to sell from their farm. If the current water crisis continues, Khaled says he might have to give up farming altogether. For The World, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jiftlik in the Jordan Valley.